Actually, oh, somebody like to get me a drink of water. I do have a cough, actually, but it's very, very warm in here this morning, isn't it? Oof. We're going to be coming thirsty to the tea and coffee shortly. Don't worry. Well, when I was a wee girl, my parents, who were both involved in a lot of social action, my father because of his job, but also because of his heart, and my mother certainly because of her heart. And because of all of that, and because of all that they did, they were both on different occasions invited to a royal garden party. And the invitation came through, and it was very, very posh. And it was all, you know, that Her Majesty the Queen, because it was her then, because I'm very, very old. And it was Her Majesty the Queen invites you. And I remember that there was this big hoo-ha in the house. And oh, my mother had to go and get a new frock and a hat because she was going to see the Queen. And my dad had to get a morning suit, you know, the ones with the tail coats. And I had to wear a top hat. The only trouble is when the top hat, because he hired it, because of course we didn't have such things in our wardrobe, pardon me for those of you who do. His top came, it was his ears that were holding it up because it was too big. But anyway, my mother said, oh, please, I'm black affronted, go and get it changed. But he didn't have time. So off he went to see the Queen with this top hat, with his lugs holding it up. But anyway, it was a big thing. And they had to go down to London and they got to meet the Queen. Turn to your neighbour and tell them about a time when you were invited to somewhere that was really special for you. It might even be today, or somewhere that was really, or to something that was really, really special for you, and tell them what it felt like for you. Go. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Shh. So, anybody want to volunteer? Where did you go? Who did you see? What was the invitation? Anybody going to volunteer? If you don't volunteer, I'll pick on you. You know I will. Margaret.
I have never met the Queen or anybody royal. Once, when I was teaching, I was invited to take two children along from our school to stand on the Millennium Bridge as the Queen came past and opened it, and we stood there for hours and hours waiting, but I haven't, she never stopped and spoke.
I had that experience when I was a kid in Dundee, and she went past in the van, and we were standing there for hours. And off she went in a van in her very posh car. And we'd been standing there for hours, and they said, oh, here she comes, here she comes, here she comes. And there she went, there she went, there she went. Anybody else? Anybody else been invited anywhere very special? Wants to tell us about it? Jim?
Never learn, do I? I was once invited to an anniversary of a firm of solicitors, a very big firm of solicitors, and you usually go to these hotel places, but no, we had the whole of Edinburgh Castle, and we had a special guided tour of the Scottish Crown Jewels, which was fantastic.
Did you feel privileged? Very, very, very. Well, this portion of scripture is talking about an invitation, not just by an ordinary king or queen, but an invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And he is inviting us to come to him. And I want to put, this isn't going, normally we would do exegesis of the passage and things, but today I want to tell you that Pastor Ross and I, we feel that this is a prophetic word for us as God's people. And I'm going to tell you the context of that. A few weeks ago in our leadership prayer time, we were thanking God for his presence among us because we've really been sensing it. Did you sense that this morning again in our worship? The presence of God was here. And we were really blessing God for that and for all that he was doing among us. And we began to think about what he might be saying to us. And we were thinking about, well, would people come out in the evenings? Because that's, you know, we come out for some things, but not very much nowadays. And at that moment, as we were talking, into my heart came what I can only describe as a furious sense of longing and love. And that's the, and just, it was overwhelming. And it was so overwhelming that it left me quite undone and crying. And the only way I could describe that, what I was experiencing at the time, was in the verse of scripture in Isaiah where it says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. And it felt like this wasn't my longing and heart, although I do love you all very much, but it felt like I was getting a glimpse into God's heart. And I know that's a big thing to say, but I can only say that. I've had those experiences since I was a teenager. There are prophetic things that come to us. Some people see visions, some people hear words, some people have these kind of experiences. And it was overwhelming. It felt like a deep heart cry of love and longing that there was yet more. Even though what we were experiencing was great, we thought that was great, but there was yet more. It wasn't rebuke, it was love and longing. And I couldn't really put it into words, and so we prayed, and some of the leaders who really graciously came and prayed with me, and some of us met afterwards, and we prayed, because they'd caught something of that too. And then Pastor Ross and I, we spent some time reflecting on that experience and what God might be saying to us. And a couple of days later, I think it was it? Yeah, a couple of days later, Ross was reading this chapter of Isaiah 55, and it really, he said, I've just been hit between the eyes. This resonates with your experience. We believe, therefore, that this is a now word for us, speaking to us not only about our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, but also because he says, come to me. Come when you're thirsty. Come if you're dissatisfied. Come and listen. But it also speaks to us about receiving new life in him, but it's speaking about our purpose. It's not an accident, we believe, that God gave us that experience and this scripture at that time, just before we were called to take the gospel out. Jesus called the disciples to come into relationship with him and then sent them out. Go and make disciples of what? All nations. Did you hear the all peoples and all nations in there? Did you hear it? Same God, same message, and it's the same message today. Verse 7, surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. God is making his church beautiful, shaping our hearts and our character after his own, putting things into our lives that we, and giving us attitudes that by ourselves we would never have. But it's by the work of his Spirit working in us through his word, working his word into our lives, working by his Spirit, changing us, molding us to make us more like Jesus. All those things that we hear about in scripture, the fruit of the Spirit, he's growing that in us. In another scripture, it says that he was gathering these people, Israel, and he was making them for the display of his splendor. Because when Jesus is among us in this way and we are cooperating with him and the work of his Spirit in that molding and shaping and molding us, remember the clay in the potter's hand that we had a little while ago? When we cooperate with our potter, our Father, he makes us, he takes the broken bits, he doesn't throw us out, remember? He took it when he saw that it was marred and he reformed it. He's shaping us. And when he does that, people will see Jesus in us and among us. And it will cause them to come. It will cause them to come. Because it won't be about us. It will be him that's heard. It will be him that's seen. It will be him that's experienced. Not just the good songs. Not just our words. Not just how good we look. You see, we believe that God is revealing himself among us because he wants to reveal himself through us and bring others. Now, look around you today. When we came, Jim and I, to this church 37 years ago, we had pews and it was very white British. That's the best way to describe it. And now, to our utter delight, it is a joy. We look around and we have among us people from many, many different nations. And that's just the way God wants it. Because what we are showing people is that we can live together, that we can, all peoples can dwell together in Jesus and be made family together in Jesus. And it's awesome. And it's a beautiful thing, and we shouldn't take it for granted. Amen? This is God's kingdom. This is God's kingdom. And this is what heaven's going to be like. Look around you. Heaven's going to be like this. People from every tribe and nation gathered before him to worship him forever and ever. What a joy we get a glimpse of that right here. It's awesome. We love it. More and more, the nations are going to come to him. Round about where this church is are many different nations. We've already been seeing that as we've gone out again with the Luke's gospel. The doors that we've knocked on, we've met people from Afghanistan, people from India, people from parts of Africa, people from Iran, people from Iraq, all over the world, Spanish people, some from Newcastle, some, I wonder if there's many Scots people. I don't know. Some from the Caribbean. They're from many different nations. So this is what God is saying to us. More and more, he's calling the nations to come to him. And how is he going to do it? He's going to call us. As he calls us and we come into him, he then says to us, now you summon the nations to come to me. Hallelujah. What a privilege and what a purpose. Oh, how God loves us. How he longs for us to come to him. He's the God who sees us. Do you remember he saw Hagar in the desert and she said, you are the God who sees me. When Jesus called people, he didn't just say, hey, you. He called them by name, did he not? And he's still calling us by name. He knows all about us and our circumstances and how we are in those circumstances. And he's longing. I cannot tell you what that felt like, that longing for us to turn to him. What we've got is good, but he's got so, so much more. He wants us to go even deeper with him. Just as he did in the days of Isaiah, speaking to those who he was calling home from exile. And that's what this passage is. There's chapters from about 40 and onwards. He's calling these people home. They've been in Babylon in exile, and he's calling them to come home. He said, this is what you were doing. I loved you, but you went your own way and you wouldn't go mine. So you went into exile, and now I'm calling you home. I'm calling you home. And so he said, he talks about, and we can't take this. He said, you come and I'm going to bless you. And we can read all about those blessings throughout Isaiah. But if you look back just one chapter into Isaiah 54, I hope you've got your Bibles, because he's calling them and he's saying, I'm going to give you a picture of what it's going to be like, the blessing that is to come. He says in Isaiah 54, just listen to some of it. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. He's calling us and he's saying, look, there's blessing that's coming. Get ready. We've had to open up the balcony again this morning. We've been praying for that for I couldn't tell you how long. And Moses here went off to Nigeria. He said, one day we're going to have to open the balcony because we're going to have so many people coming. And then we might have to have more than one service because God is going to bring in the harvest. Isn't that right, Moses? And now do you see? Now do you see? We're going to have to enlarge the place of our churches Because God is bringing in a harvest, and it's time. It's time, amen? So we must not hold back. Don't hold back anything from Jesus. Now is not the time to shrink back or hold on to things that will not satisfy us. Isaiah 55 says, come you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Those people they knew, come and buy without cost. Without cost. It's not going to cost you anything. How do we know that? Because in chapter 53, Isaiah was shown a picture of the suffering servant who is Jesus, the son of David, who is the heir here that it talks about in Isaiah 55. The suffering servant Jesus paid for us. So we get to come and buy without cost because he paid the cost so that we could come to him and have eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything we need is going to be found in him. In verse 2 in chapter 55, he says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. If you've got that sense, some of us, we've never come to Jesus. This is your moment. This is your moment. If you've never thought about Jesus, this is your moment to think seriously about who he is and what we're telling you, that he died on the cross to forgive your sins so that you could be born again and know eternal life. This is your moment. Are you thirsty? Some of us, we feel like we're in a wasteland or a wilderness. And that's the season we're in. And everything feels dry. And we're finding it hard to see and hear Jesus and to feel that stirring in our hearts. Are you thirsty? He paid for you. He didn't die for you to leave you in a howling wilderness, but he sees you right there and he's calling you. Perhaps in the wilderness, he's stripping away everything that was getting in the way, even though we have faithfully loved him, but there's more and it's deeper. And so perhaps in the wilderness, we're having to leave everything because we just can't carry everything, can we? When it's hot, you just want to put your bags down, take your coat off and drink to keep you going. Are you thirsty? In your wilderness. Perhaps you've been chasing stuff without even realizing it, and you've let stuff get in the way of your relationship with Jesus and time spent with him. This is what's important. It's the time that we're giving, spending time with Jesus in prayer, listening for his voice and his word. Coming to worship so that we can hear the Spirit. Why? Why are we letting things distract us from this precious opportunity, this invitation from the King of Kings to come and listen. Come and listen. And what does he say? Verse 3, give ear. Come. We're not coming to the institution of church. We're not coming to an organization. We're coming to the person of Jesus who gave his life for us because he loved us so much. And because the Father said, go because they need a way. I'm sending you. God so loved the world, that includes you and me, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, remember? God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, but to rescue. But to rescue. Why then are we allowing things to come in between spending time with us and Jesus? There was just recently, one of our church family texted me, and it was in the evening, and she said, oh, Pastor Sheila, with all of my heart, I just want to spend time with Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. I want to give my whole life to serving Jesus. It's just Jesus for me from now on. That's what he's saying. Is it just Jesus for us? Give ear and come to me, to relationship with me, the one whose heart is longing. The Bible says that he rises to show us compassion. He longs to be gracious to us. He loves us. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. That your soul may live. Serious stuff, isn't it? We're being called to give serious thought to where we are, what's going on in our hearts and in our lives and circumstances just now. Because the invitation that God is placing before us is, I have got so much more for you. And you may have come from other churches, and you have, and it's so lovely that you're here. But I believe that this word is going out across the face of the earth to God's people, because he is about to bring in the harvest, because there is a sense of urgency, because he is coming back and he's fixed a day. And our purpose is a missional one. As we are called, we are then to call. And if we're going to call, we have got to call them from our experience. If we're not calling them from our heart experience, they need to know that there's an authentic heart for Jesus here. Amen? Because they'll be able to sniff it. And this new generation, I don't know what they're called. They used to be called millennials. I don't know what they're called. Generation Z, whatever. Is it? I don't know. These young people, they, I don't know. I don't know. Z, Z. Z, it is Z. C. They think I'm so old that I don't know these things. But, you know, I've got my finger on the pulse. This generation, I'm telling you, guys, this generation can sniff out inauthentic stuff like that. They're looking for genuine, authentic belief. They're searching for it. They're looking in all sorts of places, and we have it. Is it not our responsibility and our utter privilege not just to belong to Jesus and to be known as his, but to carry that and say, I'm your servant. To be bearers of the gospel, the good news that will summon the nations back home to him. Is that not awesome? So what are we going to do with that? That invitation. It's not that what we've been doing is bad. Don't get me wrong. This is not rebuke. I'm going to say it again. It's not rebuke. This is the loving heart cry of our Heavenly Father in Jesus by his Spirit, calling us as his people to come closer and closer and closer, because Jesus made the way and says we can. And as we do that, we're not meant to grab hold of his feet and say, you know, like the kids in the car, you know, when you were going on a journey and you get in the car and you went, are we nearly there yet, Daddy? Are we nearly there yet, Daddy? Are we nearly there? And you hadn't even got to the end of the street. Are we nearly there yet? Because we want to be there. But we've got to remember that there are so many others who need a lift. And they need to come home. They're members of our family. As we were singing that, the blessing, my goodness, that's this. That's this. And I was thinking, for your families, for your children, for your children's children. And I was naming before the Lord my children and my children's children. Lord, bless them. Let them know you. God didn't just put Jesus on the cross like that and say, come. He's still got his arms wide open and his heart is open to us, and he's still saying to us, come, because there's more. Don't give up. Don't give up in your wasteland. Don't give up. That dissatisfaction, that little, I just got the new phone. Now they've brought out another one. Oh, do I have to get that one? We can go on holidays. We can have our homes. We can have friends. We can be going out nights out. We can be going to the gym, but there's still something, isn't there, in us that just longs for more. There's got to be more than this. That feeling, learn to recognize that, because that's God speaking to your heart saying, come home. There's more. Draw near. Draw near. There's more. Don't settle for that. Why? Why would we spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen. Give ear that your soul might live. Come to me. Come. Listen. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Turn to the Lord. He will have mercy to our God, for he will freely pardon. Or as the New King James Version puts it, for he will abundantly pardon. God loves to be gracious. Micah tells us that. He loves to pardon. He's a merciful, loving, gracious, faithful God who has made an unshakable, unswervable covenant with us. Not that he's done away with the covenant of Noah, not to, you know, you'll never flood the earth again or anything, but all of his promises find yes and amen in this covenant that he makes with Jesus. It's unshakable. He said, I will give you my faithful love. I will give you my faithful love. And I won't ever break that promise. I won't ever break that promise. When we come to him, if you're sitting there and you've never come before, or if you're sitting there and you've been around the block and you know you've fallen and you've made mistakes, what you need to know is that you can come to him, because if you turn to Jesus, you will find mercy and grace, forgiveness, because you are loved. And Jesus made the way for you. What you will find is not punishment, but mercy. But mercy. There's no shame. There's no shame. You can come. In Genesis, when they made a mistake, what did they do? They hid. They hid. They'd had that close relationship with God, but they knew that they'd broken their relationship with him, and so they hid. And what did God say? Where are you? And that heart cry from our Father has been ringing out down through the generations from that moment on. Where are you? Where are you? Not because he doesn't see you. Not because he doesn't know where you are. There is a verse in scripture that says he knows where you live. Just throwing that in there. Not because of that. But because he wants us to know that we can come to him. We have to respond. Like Jesus, when he said to the man with the withered hand, "What, you know, stretch out your arm." He will do his bit, and he is doing his bit. But we need to do ours. And what is ours? Come. Come to me. Turn from your ways. Turn from your sin. Turn from the distractions. Turn from all the things that you're letting take my place. Come to me that your soul may live. This is such an invitation. And he says, come, buy wine and milk. Come to the waters. Water, milk, wine. Water brings life and refreshment, doesn't it? Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. The thirst that we have, we might not call it thirst, but that feeling that you've got, that emptiness, that need that's in you for something more, that can only be met by coming to Jesus. Milk brings nourishment and helps us grow. Baby Caleb, just look at him. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. When babies are hungry, they'll let you know, don't they, Satonia? Oh, yes. And they cry. And there's a certain cry. And the parents will respond because they're tuned into that. They're tuned to respond. As newborn babies, as those who are his children, God's heart will always respond to us as we crave pure spiritual milk, the nourishment that comes through his word and by his spirit and in relationship with him. That's what he wants for us. That's the nourishment that he's given us to help us to grow. Water will bring life. It will bring refreshment. Milk brings nourishment and helps us to keep going. Wine, well, now, there here is about joy, taking joy, not that that leads to ill health. Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There is no pleasure that we can get from the world that will be anything close to the eternal pleasures that are to be found in relationship with Jesus. Amen? So we're saying amen. Are we thirsty? This chapter talks of abundance and a banquet, not for our bodies, but for our souls. Even today, we can call on him while he is near. This is a time-limited offer. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The Bible tells us that he has fixed a day when he's going to return. He's coming back, folks. And I'm going to keep saying that. He's coming back because we need to live in the light of that he's coming back. Not to trying to work out what day, month, year, what we should wear, whatever. But we should live in the light that he's coming back. And that should make us think about what are we giving priorities in our life? To whom and to what? To whom and to what? Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come, 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 he says. Who knows what's coming next in our world? You've been watching the news. It's a mess, isn't it? The world is a mess. We could look at that news and read our newspapers and listen to the radio. And for those of us who are from many of the nations, I know because you talk to me about what's happening back home in your countries, and it's really scary. There's lots of wars and rumors of wars. Look at what's happening in our country. Look at the way that our young people are being taken into things that they should never be taken to, where children are murdering children. What's that about? Darkness. Lawlessness. You want to know about that? Go to your gospel. Jesus told us these things would happen. He said, I'm not telling you these things to frighten you. I'm telling these things so that you are informed, so that you know how to pray and how to live. Listen, come to me. Seek me while I may be found. Call on me while I am near. Because at the moment when he comes back, history ends. There's a decision to be made. Some of us, we need to decide, will we receive Jesus as our Savior? Will we receive him? You will never regret that decision. I have got lots of friends here who will tell you, amen? You will never regret that decision to come to Jesus and give your life to him. Come to him if you're thirsty. He's inviting you. Don't wait. Don't leave this place. Don't say, well, I'll think about it. When my mum and dad got that invitation from the Queen, they didn't just take it and stuff it in a drawer and go, well, we'll think about it later. Nor did my mother put it in one of her many handbags and then forget which one she'd put it in, because it was too important. If that was what they felt like, an invitation from a person, because after all, the Queen was a human being, what then should we be doing with the invitation, the gracious, loving invitation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Don't delay. Don't put it in your back pocket and say, I'll think about it later. This is your moment. This is your moment. For those of us who are thirsty and we've been in the wilderness and we've felt, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this place. Song of Songs Who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on the arm of her beloved? Jesus sees you, and his intention is not to leave you in your wilderness. He's inviting you to lean on him and come out. Don't delay. This is your moment. For those of us who have got distracted and we're feeling all discombobulated because we've been distracted by all these things and we've let sin creep in and we know we're far. And we've tried to satisfy this hunger in our souls with stuff. We've tried to satisfy our own need. Can't do it. Stop trying. It's time to surrender. It's time to surrender. Bow your heart. There is no shame. You don't have to feel guilty. He's saying, come to me. This is your moment. And then as we do that, let's together as God's church, and you who've come from other churches, take that back with you. Come to him. Surrender. And then as we receive more from him, we're like distribution centers. We're not meant to be banks where we just store up, or a vault where we just keep all of our jewels. Like Jim was able to go and see the Scottish crown jewels, and they were kept in a vault, and only those and such as those could go and look at them. That's not what the church is. The church is for everyone, not just those and such as those. It's for everyone, all nations, every people. We're not meant to hold on to it and keep it in a vault and say, only if you're invited, if I invite you, can you come in and see this rich treasure? What he's saying is everyone is invited. No one is left out. So what I want you to do, because you know the rich treasure of my grace and mercy and my love, I want you to go and summon them. Call them and say, come. Come, come. Amen. Here we are. God's intentions towards us are good. His covenant is not one that can be broken. It's written on our hearts. And all his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. By his wounds we are healed. Our peace was bought by his sacrifice. We have good news to share. No one is left out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This covenant of peace between us and our Maker will never be removed. Great will be your children's peace, Isaiah says, chapter 54. We will be established in righteousness. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Oh, what a blessing, and we heard about that today. Here we find his heart for us, our wonderful, awesome, merciful, loving, abundantly forgiving Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Speak, Lord, by your Spirit, through your word, speak into our hearts and lives what is true, what is right from yours. Blow away with the breath of your kindness anything that has not been of you, and establish your word in our hearts and lives. We're thirsty. Pour out your Spirit, we pray. We bless you for your mercy. We bless you for your heart for us. We bless you that your desire is that we should have abundant life. We bless you that your intention is not just for us, but for our children and our children's children. We bless you that you have chosen us to be for the display of your splendor, to reveal yourself. Oh God, what an awesome privilege. Work in our hearts so that we might seek you while you may be found. Help us not to be afraid to come to you that our souls may live. For those who are really struggling today, we pray, Jesus, Jesus, come. For those who are in need of salvation, Jesus, come. Oh, come. For those of us who are in need of forgiveness, oh, God, come. Oh, God, come. May we go from this place knowing that we've encountered you, that we've heard your heart, knowing that we are loved without measure. Nothing is impossible for you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.